And I'm Amber.
And this is
Waking Up the Witch.
We're your neighborhood witches. Each week, we talk about all things witchy and connect with other humans in a storytelling format about navigating life on this floating rock.
We're two curious ladies trying to understand the human experience. But while we do that, we think it's important to honor the people that lived here before us and honor the cultures and traditions that we're being inspired by.
This podcast is about waking up the witch, which means we are learning and growing every day. That being said, we are always open to feedback on how we can do better.
The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Waking Up the Witch. Now, let's go, ghouls!
Bap, 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 bap. Welcome to the Amber and Taylor Show.
Oh my God, that like throws me back to the Amanda Show from All That.
No, those are two different things.
Well, she had like segments on All That, which then cut off over to the Amanda Show. Did you watch that fucking documentary, by the way?
Yeah.
So fucked up.
Pretty dark.
Also, hi Taylor.
Hey Amber.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
A little silly today.
Yeah. Feeling I love
kinda,
it.
Kind of crazy, but
it's maybe like, it's because I've been getting like 5 hour stretches of sleep.
For the first time in 6 months.
That's so fucking
That's
sweet.
Crazy.
That's so nice.
Should we have a little wine?
Okay.
Or no?
I mean, I'm going to go after this. So I can have like glass.
We don't need it.
Okay.
What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. What is going on? We hung out this weekend and it was super fun and warmed my heart and made me so happy. We had really yummy charcuterie.
I can't have backyard. Cheese. So.
You enjoyed the other accoutrements?
I had some nuts.
And some pickles.
And some salami.
Yeah, that was so lovely having you in my home. I feel like it's been forever since you've been at my house and just kind of realizing how I didn't want to like upset Zoe by having people over and exhausting her that way. So I'm feeling like I want to have people over and I want to show off my backyard, my garden.
It's a good yard.
There's always work to be done, of course, but it just feels so good, which is nice. Like our guest today, she's an amazing herbalist and we were talking about talking to plants and stuff. And it just is really inspiring because I just sit out in my backyard every day for a while and look at my plants. And also she mentions playing Strawberry Fields to her plants, and I was totally jamming out to the Beatles last week in my garden, which is funny.
Don't you ever play Plantasia?
What's that?
It's a
I feel like I've heard it before,
I don't remember it now. Just like music made for plants.
Oh, I love that. I probably have it on my phone actually.
It's really good. I've only heard of it because there was like some serial killer that liked to listen to it.
Oh,
but I like it too.
That's weird.
And I'm not a serial killer.
Yeah,
it's very whimsical.
Okay, I'll play my plants, Plantasia.
Yep.
Okay, go play it for your plants if you have some plants that need some plant music.
We are probably just gonna hop right into it. We have some other content we're bringing you, and so we're gonna get on that.
Yeah, this episode was just another lovely conversation with real fucking human and like hearing the reflection at the end just makes my heart so happy. Just it's like this is why we do this and it feels so good. So hope that you love this episode with Carly Loomis and that it resonates with you and that there's something you can take into your day in life. Lots of beautiful wisdom. Also,
enjoy.
Enjoy. Ground your feet on the floor and close your eyes if that feels good for you. And let's take 3 deep grounding breaths together to connect our energy. Breathing in through the nose and exhaling through the mouth. Another deep breath in and release. One last big breath in and exhale. I'd like to invite in our higher selves and our spiritual teams to be here with us for this beautiful conversation with our guests this week. Please wrap us in love and protection. Is that you?
Hello.
Hold on.
Sorry, Mom, I have to nurse the baby before they go to Costco.
Wrap us in love and protection. Help to guide us to bring forth whatever is meant to be heard and shared today, helping us to feel safe and being vulnerable. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hi, babies. We got a baby on the call right now.
Say goodbye.
Hi, Goldie.
You gotta go to Costco.
I love that name.
Goldie Rose. She just wants to hang out.
Give her a squeal.
Hi, baby.
She's so cute. Yes. She's just turned 6 months the other day. She's so cute. I'm so excited about our guest today. Carly, welcome. Please introduce yourself and tell us who you are, what you do.
Okay, so my name is Carly. Thank you for having me also.
Oh my gosh, so happy.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. So my name is Carly Loomis. I mean, we were just speaking about motherhood. That's my biggest role right now is being mother and navigating everything that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. I have a 2.5-year-old and I'm also 26 weeks pregnant with my second.
Yay.
So busy, busy, sleepy, sleepy, hungry all the time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But my work in the world and my service in the world is that I'm an herbalist and I'm a community herbalist. So I'm really passionate about ensuring that people get accessibility about the information of herbalism, because it is the people's medicine. It really belongs to us. And it was taken from us. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working to build, it seems like a very large bridge over the last 8 years of my practice.
Wow.
And so my main focus as an herbalist is education. I really love to teach. And for me, that's the best way to make it accessible, is to offer the information for people to be able to do it themselves. Because creating products just didn't really feel sustainable for me at all.
Yeah.
And I'd rather teach people how to do it for themselves in their own homes and branch out to their own communities. And then I have a home apothecary that I share with my community and, do some consultations here and there. I would love to get back into consulting at some point, but it's just not a focus for me right now. But yeah. I was trained as a clinical herbalist. So I guess a little background there too. I went to a school called Gathering Time, which is in San Rafael, California. Yeah, super cute. I did their summer program and then I did her 9-month intensive program, and I just loved it so much. And during that time period, I also met my husband and fell in love and decided to move to where the area that he lives in and is from. And there's also the California School of Herbal Studies in that area. So I moved up north and went to the California School of Herbal Studies, which was founded by Rosemary Gladstar back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I attended 2 programs there and did both, did a garden apprenticeship and then was a garden assistant manager. So I put in like 2,000 hours of schooling in like 3 years.
Wow.
Which was really intensive, but so worth it.
So fun.
Yeah.
Especially when you're so passionate about something. It's just like, you get to go do this.
Yeah, exactly. And I really did not like school as a child. I really didn't. I hated high school. I dropped out of college. And so I kind of had this idea that I wasn't like the most book smart or like, you know, I passed. I got like, I wasn't like below average. I was like average GPA or whatever. But going to IRF school really showed me how much I do like to learn and be in school. And my nickname from my friends was Hermione because I was always like, I know the answer. Pick me. Like always. I just got really confident really fast. So,
amazing. Can you take us to the beginning of your life and what kind of led you to your journey of even being interested in plants and herbs and all that?
Yeah. Well, the beginning of my life, when I look at my life, it's like I've lived so many different lifetimes.
Yeah.
Because same. Like the very early childhood was, I mean, early childhood up to like age 10 was just chaos. My parents were really young and both had mental disabilities in some ways. Like my dad had been in a really bad car accident when he was 18 and had frontal lobe damage. And then my mom had bipolar disorder. She was like very manic. She was later diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And their relationship was extremely unstable and abusive and just chaotic. And eventually my mom started using drugs and as a way to like cope with my dad, I think, and also to escape.
Yeah.
Just like I had a work or like an energy worker that I was working with one time. And my dad's a Leo, my mom's a Sagittarius. And so it's just like cannon fire. Wow. And
so much heat.
So much heat. Way too much heat.
Yeah.
So that was like that. Obviously imprinted on me as an adult and in my life. And so then my teenage years were just like suppress, deny, get drunk, do really cringy behavior.
Were you an only child?
I have two younger brothers.
Same parents?
Same parents, yeah. And my youngest brother is 7 years younger than me, and my mom left when he was 3. So also like raised him.
Mothering him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to be the mother very young.
After having a kid myself, it's like, I don't understand how people just like have multiple children. Like it has to be, I don't know. It's so hard to do with even just like a supportive, loving, beautiful partner that like, I don't know how people just keep doing it over and over.
Yeah.
And it happens like every day.
Yeah. Something I've really settled in is that like we choose it. Mm. Like I chose that life with them. Yeah. I chose to come back and, resolve whatever karma we had from past lives. And through some of my like Akashic record work that I've tapped into, both like neither of my parents are really like soulmates for me. Mm. They're just teachers, like really big teachers.
Wow.
So my early 20s, that was a wild ride. We jumped there. Basically, I was linked up into this friend group, and it was really life changing in ways that it was like very intimate and crazy and sweet, and also so dramatic. Like, oh my God, the drama was ridiculous. But they also introduced me to psychedelics and drugs and spent a lot of nights just in my own, like unraveling my consciousness and understanding more about my parents and my childhood. And that was like the beginning of my journey of really healing. But prior to that, I did start using cannabis, and cannabis was like my first awakener. But yeah, then once I started doing like acid and Molly and, you know, stuff like that. And, it was very somatic in a lot of ways and also like intense, but it just shifted me into the direction that I needed to go. But it wasn't, I still had a lot of steps to get to where I am now, because, after I was living in San Francisco for a year, and after I was kind of done living there, I bounced around a little bit, and then I ended up back in San Francisco with a friend. And then I went up north and I worked on a cannabis farm. And then like, once that was done, I was kind of like, okay, what do I do now? And my friend that I was staying with in San Francisco hit me up, and he was like, hey, do you want to drive across the country with me? And I was like,
fun.
Yes, but caveat with two big bags of weed, which I knew. I didn't have to like guess that that's what was happening. And I was like, yeah, I'm adventurous. This sounds like fun. Great idea. And there were so many red flags leading up to the trip. And we got pulled over and arrested in Illinois. And our car was searched and they found everything. And so I spent two nights in jail before my aunt came and picked me up from Ohio. And then I stayed with her for a month.
And what then year was this?
2014. 2014, the end of 2014. And I was 22. I had just turned 22. It was funny because it was my birthday's November 2nd, 11/2. And so I was turning 22. And I was like, okay, 11 times 2 is 22. It's my double golden year. It was on daylight savings time. I got an extra hour of my birthday. And I was like, it's my double golden year. And then I got arrested like a month and a half later.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
Yeah, I ended up getting charged with a class 1 felony, which is like equivalent to murder, and spent 25 days in jail in a really small town in Illinois.
What's the town?
Bureau County is the town, Princeton, Illinois. It was like such a small jail that they had both men and women in there, but like the women was such a small portion, or like there were only a few of us. And so we could never leave the space. We could not, like, I didn't see the sunshine for 25 days. And that was like,
God.
Definitely the hardest part about it, next to the food.
Wow.
The food was awful. Actually, the whole thing's awful.
Yeah, bad experience.
Bad experience. Really eye-opening, really heartbreaking. Just to witness people, because pretty much everybody was in there for drug charges. And like, I was in there for drug charges for weed and wasn't a drug user, like abuser. Like I had done drugs, but I wasn't addicted to drugs. And so being with people that were in there because they're addicted to heroin and like that's why they're there, or pills or whatever, it just was really sad to see many people hurting and super intense.
In jail, you're all in one room instead of like, you know, in prison, you have like your own cell, right?
Yeah, well, I think they're all designed probably a little bit differently, but the way that this was like we had a cell block and there were three cells within this little concrete room, and they would lock us up at night. So there were like two bunk beds on in each one. Like metal beds with this really clapped out flat mat. They leave the lights on all night. They do a check every hour.
It literally would just make you insane. Like that's not helping anybody.
No, it brings out some weirdness for sure.
Well, then you probably have like these people who are addicted or detoxing and having to witness that, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. And most of them shove something right up their cooter before they come in.
Oh, yeah.
They come in with it. So they stay high for a few days and then they come down, which is interesting.
I wonder how you feel now that marijuana is like legal in the state of Illinois. Like, you know, that would have never happened to many people. And do you still have a felony on your record from that?
I do. I can get it expunged. I just haven't done it because it was more than 7 years ago. I feel I have a lot of mixed feelings about it, honestly. I think that like it should be legal in the sense that people shouldn't be getting in trouble for it. But once my husband was a cannabis farmer, and when I met him, that's what he was doing. That's how he made his living. He was on the black market, which almost everybody was because that's the only thing that existed. And eventually tried to shift into the white market and had a legal farm he was operating it for like 4 years. I was doing it with him full time for 2 years, and my role besides supporting him with the actual farm work was also kind of like managing all of our, you know, legality stuff and the permit and emailing and all of the bureaucracy really. And, so witnessing it from that perspective, is a little bit disheartening because the amount of money that they were charging people to get these permits. The counties clearly have, at least in California, like they clearly have big interests in their big corporations in their pockets. And so 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, it would be three seasons, the market collapsed.
Yes.
Like it just fully collapsed on itself and we don't farm anymore. And all the money that we put into the farm is just gone. And so it's definitely, I think that legality makes sense, but it just needs to be done better.
Totally. Yeah.
We live in Southern Oregon, so that's very much the story here, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go back to you being in jail.
Yeah, well, so I spent those 25 days in jail and then I got out and I still count my blessings of how fortunate I was. They could have easily sent me to prison and I would not, I don't know what would have happened.
Be here now.
I don't know what would have happened. That's like one of my biggest fears. Because it's really rugged and really rough. And so then I just had to do probation for about a year, maybe a little bit longer, but it was really lax. Like I still smoked weed. I didn't have to get drug tested. I just had to show up and I ended up
getting. Were you able to come home to do that or did you have to stay in Illinois?
I did go back to California. And I moved back in with my parents, and that was
rough. God. So they've still remained married all this time.
No, this would be my dad and his third wife.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I skipped a whole chapter somewhere along the lines. It's just not even. As a whole lifetime, it just doesn't.
I get it.
It doesn't mean much to me at this point, you know. Yeah. But yeah, with his third wife and all of his relationships have been really tumultuous and laced with drugs and alcohol. And it was really challenging. The baseline of my family unit is just like chaotic. And so trying to navigate the grief of what I had experienced. I had also experienced some betrayal and friendships like right before I went to jail.
Yeah.
So I was navigating that grief. And then, let's see. I went to jail in July of 2014 and then, or no, 2015. And then in May of 2016, my dad and my stepmom were walking home and they were hit by a car in the crosswalk coming up to our house. And Whoa. My dad took the brunt of the hit and his spine was broken in three places. Oh, and he was rushed to the ICU. It was like his third huge car accident in his life. I say that he has karma with a C. Mm-hmm. Hopefully resolved at this point because it's been so bad. And then, we didn't know. He was in the ICU for a month and had to be in a medically induced coma for 5 days. And as you can imagine, that was extremely jarring on my nervous system. And my youngest brother was still in high school. And so, again, I had to kind of like step up and take on this role. And I was just like really deeply lost and confused mm-hmm. about life at that point. And then I found herb school.
Wow.
And then I went to an ayahuasca ceremony. And it was really wild because I had never done ayahuasca before. And like 3 days before the ceremony started, I dreamt that I was going to be on my moon. And I started bleeding that week. And I went to the ceremony. And they were like, yeah, so normally, like, when you bleed, your energy is being taken down. Mm-hmm. And then when like ayahuasca brings your energy up. And so they had to put this like belt, I had this tobacco belt around my waist, or I made it and put it around my waist. And I literally felt like I was like ripped in half at that ceremony. And it was really bizarre because I had these visions of like this friend in my life. And I was like, am I supposed to like spend my life with this friend? I'm like, I'm not even attracted to him. Like, what is happening here? Why are you showing me this like reality that I could live with this person that I like don't feel attracted to? But before the ceremony started, this man walked in and I was like, I just thought to myself, I was like, he's really cute. I would like to kiss him. Mm-hmm. And after the ceremony ended, there was like a little potluck area and I had left and I went back in. And when I went back in, he was standing in the doorway and I went up and talked to him and, we exchanged numbers. And I remember when I was leaving, we did like this group hug and I just like looked him in the eyes and was like, I'll be seeing you. And I ended up texting him like a week later and he called me immediately. Like he didn't text me back. He called me and that was really bizarre.
Wow.
And we made plans to hang out and we went on a date to this really beautiful river spot and he kissed me and that was the beginning of us.
Wow. And
the beginning of my heart, like really healing.
Yeah. I can see you just like light up so much sharing that story.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you found each other. Beautiful.
Thank you, me too.
Love it.
Yeah, we actually just celebrated our 1 year wedding anniversary yesterday.
Oh, and happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yay. And we our 8 year anniversary is this summer.
Beautiful. So I heard you mention something about Akashic Records. Do you also do that?
No.
Oh, okay. You've just done that work with others.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would love to at some point, but just where I'm at in my life is not the time.
Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second.
Do you see that? Oh, there's just a lag in the video, but her audio is good.
Okay. Yeah.
My phone is on low battery because I was expecting to use my computer.
Oh, okay.
It's not like the lowest, but I just might have I just might have to unplug my headphones at some point.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So we can check the audio maybe when that happens, but.
Yeah, sometimes it'll bounce back. But.
I tried to download Chrome on my computer and it just wasn't there. So
pain. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
We need to figure out a backup.
Okay. Do you want to bring us to
Yeah. How about, so we touched a little bit on herb school, a little bit on your love. You mentioned that you have another baby, and maybe kind of tell us a little bit about like your journey with motherhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the love magic. Okay. And love for herbs, like all of that, whatever has been going on the past 8 years.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so my Andrew and I had been together for, I think, not even a year. And we got pregnant, and I just was not ready at all. He wasn't ready. We were 24. I was living with my parents and their chaos. I was just like, fuck no.
Not the time.
Doing this right now. Mm-hmm. So we did have an abortion, and we did a ceremony to like release the spirit and tell it that it could come back.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Just to connect with it. And that was the first time that I ever connected with my spirit baby. And actually, I know y'all worked with Kimmy. Mm-hmm. She told me that he had a spirit baby in his field. And he, when he saw me at the ayahuasca ceremony, the baby, he was like, that's my mom. And so he pulled us together.
I'm crying.
I'm totally crying.
Full body chills.
I know. Aww. I know. Yeah. So I think my daughter that we have now, I think she was in my field and kind of maybe did the same thing. Like, that's my dad. And, but she came through first. And I remember when I was in the process of releasing the pregnancy, I was in so much pain. It was like, this is crazy. But I had this pink orb like surrounding me, my entire space. And I just knew, I just felt this such strong feminine presence. And from there, I knew that like, this was a person I wanted to have babies with. It took us a while to be ready for it. But it definitely started to open up the avenues of pregnancy and birth. And then, you know, going into herb school, we had some really great classes on midwifery and herbalism, and just having those radical teachers that came and told us about what happens in hospitals and, you know, traditional midwifery ways. And that really started to like expand me to a vision and a dream of how I wanted to actually go through that journey. I did get pregnant again, and we still weren't ready. That abortion was a little bit more like rough. Like, it wasn't so soft. It was just like, I don't know, it felt really rugged. But there, it also still felt like it was really meant to be, you know? And then, I got pregnant again a couple years later, and I was very ready because I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the time I'm going to start preparing. I'm starting my preconception fertility journey. Like, this is happening now. So then when I got pregnant again, I was really excited and really ready, but that ended in miscarriage like 5 days later.
Wow.
And so I knew it wasn't a viable pregnancy. I knew it wasn't my fault, but there was just this really deep grieving process that happened. Because I couldn't prevent it from happening. And then a little bit later, it's funny because I'm hesitant to share this in this kind of platform, but apparently the secret's out. So I had a friend pass away who was not in my life anymore. And when they died, they came to me psychically immediately. And it was really bizarre because I was like, okay, we're having these conversations that we wanted to have with each other face to face for like these last 5 years, and they didn't happen. And so here you are in my field, and we're having these conversations. And I was working with this shaman, and he told me, because basically the shaman was like, yeah, he came right to me. He was like, you kind of got to wait until she's ready and then you can start telling her all the things you're telling me. And he was like, just when you're ready, do this ritual and get a pen and paper and just start writing. Mm-hmm. And so I channeled this message from the spirit asking me if they could be my baby.
And oh my God.
Come back through me. Mm. And that was really crazy. I was like, am I crazy?
No.
Is this real? And I told him about what happened. He's like, oh yeah, that happened. Like when this happens, this is what I was like, this happens to people? Like, what the fuck? This is crazy. And my daughter Lilith, her spirit was like holding it down for us and like really holding the space for us. And I did an Akashic record reading with a friend and she was like, they are soulmates.
Oh.
Like that's why they want to be like that's why this soul wants to come back through so that they can be together. And and also to have stability and like really deep unconditional love and nourishment and things that they didn't receive in their last life. And then I got pregnant 2 months later with my daughter and she was born in September of 2021. We had a very long labor. I pushed for 4 hours. And she was born sunny side up and it was really intense, but really empowering.
Birth at home?
It was at a birthing center. Because we were on our farm and it was harvest season.
Yeah.
She was like due right the day we were predicted to start harvesting. And I was I can't have the potential of there being like a bunch of random people in my space.
Yeah. Trimmers walking in.
And it wasn't like a bunch of random people, like
for
it was,
sure. You know,
but it was just kind of like
people you know, don't want at your birth.
No, like even people I didn't want, like looking back, like there was this one guy, it's like he was in my postpartum space and he was like talking shit about me and was like, do you think Carly had a baby so she didn't have to work this year? And I was like, fuck you. Wow. You're just like a 55-year-old bitter ass man.
Ugh.
But
wild.
Yeah. Wild.
What's her birthday?
September 27th.
Amazing.
She's Libra. So much Libra in her chart.
Love it.
Yeah, she's a big Libra energy. She loves, she could be in her jammies all day and like eat snacks.
Love it. Cute. And how much did she weigh?
She was 6 pounds.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love a birth story.
Yeah. My trauma in birthing my daughter, just because it was so hard and so long, and my placenta adhered and I started to bleed a lot and was almost transferred to the hospital. And but I've just been like, I was waking up in the night and just thinking, like, could I even do that again? Like, could I endure that this time around? And I have a really incredible doula. My pregnancy's out of the system this time. I loved my midwife, but I just didn't really love the constant, like, okay, you're declining this, sign this paper, or, you know, whatever. And also just funds, you know, it's expensive to hire a midwife and they're about 45 minutes from where I live. And so I have a friend who I connected with. We went to herb school. We went to the same school, but at different times, and we connected through Instagram, and she's local to me. And also I'm a Scorpio. She's also a Scorpio. So we like just really hit it off. And, after I got pregnant, I was telling her, I was like, yeah, you know, I feel like I don't want to birth in the system, but I don't want to like do my midwifery care in the system, but I don't want to birth alone. I've also been feeling like this spirit really wants me to have this experience. So I'm just like surrendering to it. And she goes, well, I'm a doula and I want to support women in birthing out of the system. That's why I'm doing this work. And I was like, great. Cool. So I was able to kind of debrief some of my fears with her. And what she said to me was that like being in my own space and having my smells, it's going to be such a different physiological experience. And that's all I needed to hear was like smells. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Can you,
I'm good.
Do you feel comfortable sharing some of your fears around birth again? And are they new fears that you didn't have prior to your experience first time?
I think it's just ultimately like the fact that I haven't had a regular person to check in with and ask questions. And mm-hmm. so I'm really, really deep in the mystery of it all. Mm. And then, yeah, kind of like how I was saying with my first birth, it was just so, like, it was just the stamina that I needed in order to make that happen. And my midwife had told me, she was like, you know, she told me that my birth changed her experience as a midwife, because most times when women are in that position where they're just like my fluids were low, I hadn't eaten anything, I'd thrown everything up, I'd been up for like 24 hours. Most women will go to the hospital and get an epidural so that they can rest, and then they'll push the baby out. But I just did it. I just kept going and I did it. And it's just part of me is like, could I do all that again? Mm-hmm. And I also really don't want to end up in the hospital. You get it.
Same.
For any reason at all, really.
Yeah, totally agree.
I don't want to deal with the like hypocrisy and also the being shunned for my decisions and
I do just want to say, like, your body has done this before at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, before, your body doesn't really know what to do, and so sometimes you don't dilate, or sometimes like things don't happen because it's never happened, but you literally have pushed a baby out before. So hopefully your body recognizes this process and is just like, oh shit, we've done this, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then you can just
that's been my mantra,
have a baby.
And
just go with that.
Exactly. And I'm like, maybe I'll just have like a fetal ejection moment. It'll be so fast.
Yeah, like, my body's just like,
but gotcha. You know,
I've heard the second one usually comes a lot faster, so just, you also know, sit actually, with that.
That was the first thing that my mom said to me when I told her that I was having another baby, because my birth was really traumatic for her and for my dad. Mm. I was born with the cord wrapped around my neck and like very blue, lots of organs shut down, had to have a blood transfusion because they cut the cord too soon. And then my brother was born so fast, my dad was parking the car and missed it.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, so, and that is one thing about my mother, is that she birthed all three of us vaginally, and that is so rare. And so I know that I can do it, but it's just, it's a lot of like the worry is associated with our kidneys in traditional Chinese medicine, and fear and doubts. And our kidneys are working so hard in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're not a pregnant person, your kidneys are filtering the full volume of your blood every 5 minutes.
Wow.
And so then when your blood volume doubles when you're pregnant, your kidneys are like working on overtime all the freaking time.
Crazy.
And so it just makes sense to me that my kid, like, I'm having these emotions that's associated with my kidneys come up. And so I've just been also working to really nourish and nurture my kidneys as much as I can. To kind of like pacify those emotions.
That's great.
Yeah, I love the way.
Wonderful that you have all this knowledge too of how to support yourself. Naturally. Totally.
So, you've obviously done some spirit baby work. Do you think that there's another one coming for you after this one?
Yeah, that's the little boy that was in my husband's field. Will be the next
one. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the one that's here now is the one that asked me to come through.
Mm-hmm.
They are
what
very
did Kimmy
eager.
Call those hitchhikers or something like that?
Yeah.
When they
maybe.
you're not born with them. Like, your souls didn't come into the world, like, mm-hmm. knowing that that was what you were going to do. I think she called it hitchhikers. There was something cute.
Makes sense.
When we interviewed her.
Interestingly, Kimmy knew this person, like, wow. in their previous incarnation. And so it's been really sweet to be able to have her support and validation. And, yeah.
Amazing. Just,
you know, it's a weird thing.
Yeah. You're definitely at the point in pregnancy where you look at your belly and you're like, well, you got to come out somehow. And you're just like, okay. Because there's so much of it. You're just like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. And then you get to a point and you're like, boom.
I know. Especially come out of me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. How's that been? I'm sure that's like wild and exhausting, but also like super sweet. You know, having a little one as you're pregnant, that's like a whole different pregnancy.
Yeah, you basically summed it up. Wild, exhausting, and sweet. Yeah, it is extra exhausting for sure. And I was very adamant about not wanting to breastfeed and be pregnant because mm-hmm. I am very aware of my body and I was very aware of how taxing it was to breastfeed. I actually really wanted like a longer break before I got pregnant, and 2 weeks later.
After you stopped nursing?
After I stopped nursing, yeah.
Whoa, crazy.
I know. Ridiculous. Well,
I can just see it on your face. There is nothing as tiring as being pregnant, and like you can't even explain it to someone else. Like, I'm over here, you know, waking up every hour nursing a baby, and I'm just like, woo, let's go, because it's like I have so much energy compared to being pregnant. I've never felt that way in my entire life. It's like the longest hangover you've ever had, but you didn't do anything fun.
I mean, you did something fun once.
Hopefully.
Hopefully it was fun.
Yeah. So that was the problem. We had one experience in our bed because my toddler was taken from our home and we co-sleep. And I was like, that one time in our bed really did it.
Yep.
It was fun.
I love that. But
yeah, it's... She is so incredibly intelligent, and before she was born and into the Akashic Records, my friend was like, she is an old soul. She's older than both you and your partner. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like for her, it's just like, I've done this human thing before. Like, what's next? I've got this. On to the next. But she's also very much a mama's girl and really... like needs me physically and emotionally. And so I have concerns about the transition of bringing in a new baby. But at the same time, like I'm just communicating it with her as much as I possibly can. I'm going to do a sister blessing ceremony for her because I had like a mother blessing ceremony and it just was so special for me. And with potty training, weaning, like we did a lot of prep work, we read books about it, we talked about it, and she just got it. Like she just started going potty outside one day by herself.
Crazy.
And then using the potty, and she's 2.5 and doesn't wear diapers at all anymore. We just did night training, and most of the little babies that are her age are still like in diapers or like just starting diaper training. And not to like, you know, take away from anybody else's experience. It's just like, she just gets it.
Yeah.
And I have a genius baby, so I get it. I almost feel guilty sometimes because so many people around me had babies at the exact same time. And my child is extremely advanced and I'm not like bragging. Sometimes I try to just be like, oh yeah, you know, she just wakes up sometimes because I want to say like maybe something negative so I don't sound like everything she does is so much more advanced.
A good baby.
But she is. She's
so smart.
Stronger and hits the milestones faster. Yeah. And she's so smart. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get it. And I think that there's this woman that I followed for years and years, New Earth Mama. I don't know if either of you have seen her, but
I'm not sure.
She was like this vegan mom in Australia, and then evolved a lot of her work toward like conscious parenting, and they do like breath work for parents, and I've never taken any of their courses, but they just shared a post recently about strong-willed children because they're teaching a course on it, and I was like, oh gosh, if that's not my daughter.
And with all that Libra energy too. Mm-hmm. I have a question. Mm-hmm. So with the gender of this baby, do you just know, or have you had an ultrasound? Did you get the genetic tests? Like, how do you know it's a little girl?
When the spirit came through, they told me they wanted to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's changed.
Yeah.
Kimmy also had visions of a girl. I did a session with Kimmy when I got pregnant, and she was like, do you have twins in your family? And I was like, oh, fuck. Because I always have been like, I'm going to have twins. I just know it. My grandma's always like, you're going to have twins. They're not really in my family. They're not in my mother line at all. I'm not pregnant with twins. I went and had an ultrasound to confirm it because I was freaking mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
It just turned out that there's like another spirit. It's kind of a mystery, but there's a very masculine spirit hanging around because
this baby,
everybody thinks it's a boy.
Mm.
Everybody in my life, my husband thinks it's a boy. My daughter always says boy. My mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, both my sister-in-laws, all my friends that I grew up with, everybody thinks it's a boy. The only people that think it's a girl are the people that really trust me and like know my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, we'll see.
How fun.
And then the other piece is that like I have a name that they gave me, and it's like that's the only name I have. I don't, there's no mm-hmm. boy names. I can't, like, I've thought about some other names. It was just like, this is the name. Wow. So, and it's very feminine.
And your partner likes the name too?
It's cool. He didn't like it before we were pregnant. He was just like, no, I'm not into that. But let me tell you this. The little boy in his field, he calls him Herbert.
Well, okay. He can name that one, I guess.
No, he can't. I am like, I can't. Herbert, no. It's so bad, but.
It's definitely a pet name. Maybe you guys could get like a cat.
It's like a fucking 95-year-old man with cardiovascular disease and like type 2 geriatric diabetes. Like, it's not a name for a baby in 2024. Little Herbie. Yeah. No. But Kimmy did tell me that that spirit, his last life was in the Great Depression era, and I think that was
there. He is. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense for sure.
I think that will change, amazing. Hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does. I told him the name again one day, and he smirked, and I was like, what's that look for? And he was like, it's not that bad. I was like, mm-hmm. I know.
I can't wait to hear it. When are you due?
My August 25th. Okay. Yeah. 25th. Right? Something like that. Love. 24th.
Well, Virgo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like it will be. I feel like it'll come early and be a Leo.
Little Leo.
Mm-hmm. Leo, baby. That's what I just felt right mm-hmm. now.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah. They want to have like a real force.
Oh my gosh. How fun.
92.
I'm a Scorpio also, but.
You are.
91. Yeah.
When's your birthday?
October 28th. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Scorpios. I have so many in my life.
Yeah, you're like a collector.
I am a collector. Both my parents are Scorpios.
I love my Scorpios too.
Same.
So intense, but lovely.
So intense, but lovely.
Parents, two Scorpio parents. Luckily, they didn't stay married, but
whew. Yeah.
Yeah, that's intense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you want to talk about your herbalism and like go into some detail about that, we would love that. And then I know that you had a course. Did you already do that, or do you want to talk about that a little bit too?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I was sharing in the intro, my work as an herbalist has really evolved and is settling in the realm of education. We're still figuring it out. Business is business and it evolves, and it's very Scorpio in so many ways. Like it just, it needs to be burnt down to continue to like rise and evolve. And so we may be approaching like a very small transition right now. But we're just trying to build community and create a place where people can come and learn about plants in a way that feels accessible and obtainable. So right now we have a monthly membership, which is the thing that may potentially shift at some point. But we talk about an herb of the month, and it's like a low cost offering at $7.99 a month. And we do a Zoom class and talk about, or, and then offer a written like PDF about the plant. And then we have some workshops and classes that I think I've really produced all of them. And they're just kind of like hanging out on my website, and working on creating more like digital publications and ebooks. I had a local person reach out to me asking if I'd be interested in teaching classes in the town that I live in, which is super exciting for me because I really want to do more in-person stuff as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do a class on herbal first aid and then kind of like reformat it into an ebook and put it up on my website. So yeah, little things like that. We're still building. We're still figuring it out. We're still... Yeah, learning so much. I have been studying marketing a lot and just trying to figure out the best ways to like reach our audiences, connect with our communities. And I am really excited because I have the privilege of going to teach at my school. I'm going to teach the intermediate students about marketing, social media marketing. Wow,
good for you. That's exciting.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I've had some moments of like imposter syndrome because I'm just like, do I even know what I'm talking about? But yes, I feel pretty confident in it. So
yeah. Literally done so many hours of learning about this. If you don't know, I don't know who does.
Yeah, I really have. So Kimmy and I, who, if anybody didn't listen to that episode, because I know you interviewed her, she's a spirit baby medium, and she's one of my good friends. And we just co-taught a class called Herbs for Spirit Babies. And it's available for replays on our website. It's just, if you missed the pre-registration, it's now available for the full price. Because we did a 50% off like pre-sale. And it was so incredible. I loved that class because I have been dreaming about teaching about psychic herbalism.
I love it.
Really like connecting with the plants through the quantum, because plants, that's how they communicate with us, is through the quantum. And utilizing them to also connect with your spirit babies and your guides. And it was really incredible. We did two guided meditations. One was a plant spirit meditation, and then Kimmy did her cosmic womb meditation. And then we talked about like what the spirit baby realm is, what psychic herbalism is, how to connect with plants through the quantum realm. We talked about the different clairsenses, like the different ways that we perceive our psychic communications. We talked about a bunch of plants, how to use them, what their properties are, and then like practices and rituals to integrate them. And it was a 2-hour workshop. It includes a little recipe booklet, herbal recipes for spirit babies. And it was incredible. So that's like what lights me up more than anything. Like that's what feeds my soul.
Yeah.
Especially as a really busy mother and a full-time stay-at-home mom, is having these little moments where I can teach. And so, you know, even with like this upcoming first aid class, I'm like, okay, I have this work to do, but I'll just sit down and do it. I'll just like sit down and drop into this flow and like create this entire presentation on Canva in like an hour because I'm super stoked on it. And it just feels good for me to create that. And it's really nourishing, and hoping to continue to do more once my baby is a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you tell us what psychic herbalism is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's kind of like two branches of it. One is that you utilize plants to enhance your own psychic senses, to connect with spirit babies, angels, archangels, etc. And then the other piece of it is actually communicating with plants psychically. So the example that I gave in our class is like, rosemary can't just like pull its little roots up out of the dirt and walk up to you and say, hey, you should use me, like you need me in your body. They're going to communicate with you through the quantum. And it could be like, gosh, I've just had like 5 or 6 people tell me about rosemary this week. And like paying attention to that. Or sometimes plants will just talk to you. Like, I remember one time I was in my garden and I looked around. I was like, what song should I play? And I literally hear strawberry fields forever. And I look down and I'm like standing next to my strawberries. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys like the Beatles?
That's so cute. I love that.
Then they come through in dreams, clairvoyancy, you know, like images, clairvoyancy. There's also, what is another way, an example? It's just like, having an awareness about how they communicate to us, because they can't talk to us. I mean, they can. I shouldn't say that. They definitely can. And if anybody's interested in talking to plants, mugwort and cannabis are the most vocal.
Totally.
They'll talk to you.
I love that. So much fun. And I also, to go back to like, this, you kept saying like doing this work is nourishing, and I just love that and resonate so much with that and feel so lucky to get to do the work that I do, and it really is soul nourishing. And I don't ever want to do any type of work that isn't soul nourishing, so I just wanted to reflect how much I love the way you describe that, because I think it's really beautiful, and we all should hope to have work like that, that we can feel fed. In a spiritual sense like that. It's so
imagine powerful. A world where we were all happy with what we were doing for work. Like, yes, it's work, so you have to like work, but you enjoy what you're doing. Time goes by quickly. You're, you know, taking care of yourself and others.
And I love, too, that you have these offerings that, like, doing the herbal first aid, but then being able to also translate it for people everywhere to also access and be able to use in the future, too. I think you got some magic that you're working that's, like, allowing you to do both and connect with people globally, but also within your community. So that's really powerful and really inspiring. To think about ways that I too can do that. I have
an herb question. I have a bunch of blue lotus flower. What do I do with it? And what is it for?
That's so funny.
I don't even know why I bought it.
Did you buy
that
it?
I got it at the apothecary.
That was one of the plants that was in our class. because it is very much like elevating, like higher chakra activating. Mm-hmm. It's actually a plant that I haven't worked with a lot. I'm just starting my journey with Blue Lotus. That's the thing about herbalism is like there are so many plants.
Yeah, so many.
You actually need to form intimate relationships with them, mm-hmm. In order to know them and understand how they work for you and your body. And so there's two pieces to this. One is you could work on your psychic herbalism skills, mm-hmm. and you could connect with the plant spirit of Blue Lotus and ask what you should do with it. But you can also
use it nursing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. You can use it internally or topically. It can be an aphrodisiac. It can be like a very like strong dream herb. It can be psychically enhancing. And it can also support pain relief topically. Cool. So maybe I'll just leave you with that.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of connect with the plant and see what you should do with it.
It was expensive and I just have a big jar of it.
Yeah, it's not cheap. That's probably why I haven't worked with it, honestly.
Yeah.
You can make tea with it too. Tea's always a really great place
to
start.
I've always used it.
Yeah, what I bought. I think my husband wanted to smoke like less cannabis or like mix it in with his cannabis, and so that was like something we were using it for too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good smoking herb.
Cool. How exciting. Any other things that you'd like to leave us with around your story or the magic that you create?
I did want to say thank you for the reflection of, you know, just how I'm able to serve like a more intimate community that's in my immediate surrounding and also a global community. And and also the soul nourishing stuff. It's almost like a prayer coming through. Like I just pray that my husband finds that again, because you know, with the cannabis industry collapsing, like that was his sole work. It was really hard physically, mentally, emotionally, but it really nurtured him. And so he's been on a journey of like rediscovering himself. And if you are also one of those people, I'm just sending my prayers out to you that you reconnect with your soul nourished work, because you deserve it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of interesting energies around the cannabis plant right now and her karmic journey and everybody that's interwoven into it. And so I see y'all.
That's definitely speaking to a lot of people that are in our area locally that do listen. So thank you.
Powerful.
Yeah. And otherwise, thank you for holding this space. It's rare that I get to tell my story and in these really like deep ways and be witnessed and share the nitty gritties of all the different lifetimes that I've had.
Thank you for sharing.
We love doing here, and we're just so grateful that you felt safe to share those parts, because they are powerful and beautiful and truly going to be helping others feel less alone in their experiences too. And that's why we do this. So thank you. You're powerful and magical.
Thank you.
Would you pull a card for us?
So I have the Goddess Oracle. This has been like one of my
tribe. Is it the Dorian Virtue?
No, it's Amy Sophia Marinishki. I don't think I said that right. It's torn apart.
I love it.
Well loved. Marinishki. And I open it up. This is not the card, but this is my daughter's name, Lilith.
Oh my God, amazing.
What a powerful name.
What's her middle name?
Ray, R-A-E.
Beautiful.
It's a family name. My mother, my grandmother, and my aunt, and my aunt's daughter are all middle name Ray. And then my husband's sister has the middle name Ray.
Wow. My sister's middle name is Ray.
Oh.
What was that?
My sister as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cute. There's something.
My Aunt Kara.
Oh.
Yeah.
Family name.
Yep.
Oh. All right. Pachamama came.
Mm.
Healing, holing, holy.
That's such a perfect card for our conversation and for you being an herbalist. How amazing.
Let's see. Pachamama. Oh, jeez. So there's a little poem, and then I'll share a little bit more. I sing a song of love from the stones of my body, from the high peaks of my mountains, from the hot sands of my deserts. I caress you with green leaves, green plants, green grasses. I bathe you in greenery, and I feed you from my breast. The earth. I soothe you with sparkling waters, refresh you in my oceans. My song of love for you is my body, the earth, there to feed you, clothe you, home you. Learn my song and it will heal you. Sing my song and it will whole you. Dance with me and you will be holy.
Mm.
The mythology of this goddess comes from the pre-Incan peoples of Peru and Bolivia. Pachamama, or Mama Pacha, is the earth, worshipped in her many forms. The tilled fields, her mountains seen as breasts, the flowing rivers of her milk. To ensure good harvests, cornmeal is sprinkled at planting, and rituals celebrating her are performed. When the people fail to honor her, this dragon goddess sends earthquakes as a reminder. And the meaning of the card is that Pachamama waits for you with open arms. It is time to open to Pachamama's embrace. Now is the time to heal, whole, and remember your holiness. Remember yourself as a sacred being. Do you feel a connection with Earth Mother as a living entity, or do you consider the earth an inert rock beneath your feet? Are you in the middle of some emotional pain that nothing seems to ease? Do you eat food and drink water without giving thanks to the earth? Are you looking for answers to questions? Do you spend time in nature opening to the earth and her vital energies? Opening to Pachamama can occur any place. You can commune with her in a city park, your own backyard, some remote forest, jungle, or desert. Pachamama says that healing, holing is nurtured when you open to her.
Love. That's so perfect. I love that so much. Thank you for pulling her.
Mm-hmm. I'm going camping this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Perfect. Ready for all of that.
Went awesome. On a nice hike today in the river yesterday, and I'm ready to live at the river for the rest of the summer.
Oh, yeah. Summer vibes. Ready.
Where do you live in California?
I'm in Sonoma County.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, about an hour north of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Not too far from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was actually born in Oregon. My maternal roots are from Oregon.
Oh, wow.
Where at?
Portland.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
We have two questions that we like to ask all of our guests here at the end. And the first one is, what is something that you do for self-care that you just can't live without?
Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My storage is tapping out again.
Oh, no.
I think it's because I have the app, but something I do is I've really been focusing on my mineral intake lately, especially as a post-breastfeeding mother. That's when it started, was during breastfeeding. And as a pregnant woman, it's just so, 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 so important to me. So,
what minerals?
I make a lot of nutritive teas I've been doing a lot of red raspberry leaf for obvious pregnancy reasons, but it also just is so rich in minerals. Magnesium bicarbonate, I recently started taking that. It's changed my world. I've been doing shilajit, I just got a really nice herbal syrup from a friend called Strong Woman Syrup. That stuff is so good. It has all these nutritive herbs in it. And then it also has like molasses. And it's super potent. Whenever I make water, I always put like a really good pinch of, I use French gray sea salt. And then I put a little cream of tartar in it, which is potassium. I don't really ever drink just like plain water anymore, which I did for a long time. Reverse osmosis, just like plain dead ass water. Learned a lot from that. And yeah, and then otherwise just for my food. But that's
hell yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, cycle through all those.
Okay. If you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be? And that could be as far back as you can think, all the way to yesterday.
I think it's just this constant theme of just keep going. It's not going to be easy probably ever, but it does get better. And that me in all my stages has always been so held and supported. And so even when I feel like I'm alone, I have a really big squad of angels around me.
That's so perfect. Keep going, everyone.
You can do it.
It does get better. I love that. Well, thank you, Carly, so much for sharing your story and your heart and knowledge with us today on the podcast. We're so grateful for your time and your energy. It's, yeah, magic, true magic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I don't have a funny one today. Go, yeah, I don't know, touch grass. I said that last week, I think.
Well, it's perfect for the Pachamama card.
Yeah, you could say go wash your hair in the river.
There you go. That's a good one.
That. Go talk to plants.
Yo. Go talk to plants. That's the one.
I got big chills when you just told us.
Yelled at that.
Yeah. Good job, Auntie Carly.
Yeah.
Yes, don't just talk to them. You're right. Listen to their magic. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode has been produced by my husband, Curtis Burgess.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Waking Up the Witch.
And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email us at wakingupthewitch@gmail.com.
And don't forget to head over to the link in our bio on Instagram for all the ways to connect with both Amber and Taylor. And go to moonbeeswellness.com for all your self-care and witchy needs.
We love you. Bye.
Bye. Ow.